Psalm 8 is partly quoted in Hebrews 2. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Now, it says man, but of course it means humanity, both men and women. A Nobel Prize winner said one time, "The book of Genesis is correct. It leads right up to the climax of all creation, woman." So we are talking about humanity this day. We are created, first of all, from the dust of the ground. And the dust is what we return to. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul, but spoken of the body. And so we return to chemicals, and we are made out of chemicals. And I'm sure Dr. Feese, a former chemist, could tell you the kinds of chemicals of which we're composed. But somebody has said, if you name the chemicals after the letters in C, Hopkins, Cafe, NaCl, Mg, you'll have all the chemicals of which we're composed. Carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, phosphorus, potassium, iodine, nitrogen, sulfur, sodium, chloride, and the Mg stand for magnesium, and mighty good, because God has made a fearful and wonderful thing out of the human body. So, we were made out of chemicals, but it also said, God breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living being, a living soul. Previously, that had been said of the animal. So this shows that we are physiologically active. So the wonderful functioning of the human body testifies to the greatness of the Creator. Take, for example, muscle. In the arm, there are muscles that extend the arm and flex the arm. But they have to be stimulated by the nervous system. So when a muscle contracts, a nerve impulse comes from the brain to a muscle cell, and the ATP, adenosine triphosphate, plus water, stimulated by the nerve, turns into ADP and hydrogen phosphate, and energy is produced, which enables the muscle to shorten so that we bend the fingers or the arm. But that's not all of it. It's more complicated than that. Then creatine phosphate, CP, is added to the ADP that was just produced to put it back into the ATP that it was before. And then the food that you've eaten, which is turned into glucose, the sugar, and glycogen, the starch, plus oxygen, will restore the rest of the ATP, but it also produces carbon dioxide and water. And you breathe out the carbon dioxide. And then, wonder of wonders, the green plants take over and take that carbon dioxide and bringing in water from the roots turns it into a sugar, which can be added to the nitrogen from the soil, and you have food again. So what a wonderful cycle. We are fearfully but wonderfully made. We are the obvious wonder of creation, the final creation and the best of creation. Some people disbelieve in creation, but President Reagan was sitting with a man one time, and he said to this atheist, "This is a very remarkably good dinner. Obviously, there's no cook." It's pretty obvious from this that we are the result of the intelligent Creator. Now, of course, we're different from animals. We are upright in posture. We have a larger brain. We have language so that we can speak from a pulpit on Sunday. We produce heat with fire and other ways that we've invented. We're self-conscious. We know who we are compared to all the other creatures in the universe. In the Strong's commentary on the nature of man, I ran into this poem by Tennyson. I think you'll find it very interesting. It shows how we are self-conscious. The baby, new to earth and sky, what time his tender palm is pressed against the circle of the breast, has never thought that this is I. But as he grows, he gathers much and learns the use of I and me, and finds I am not what I see and other than the things I touch. So rounds he to a separate mind from whence clear memory may begin. And though the frame that binds him in, and through the frame that binds him in, his isolation grows defined. He knows that he is distinct from the animal world. But it also says, man was created in the image of God. An image is a small imitation of a real thing. So sometimes my wife calls me an image. But we are obviously in the image of God in the ways that are mentioned first in Colossians. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of its creator. And Ephesians, put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So we are created in the image of God, in our knowledge, in our will, in our emotion. Intellect, emotion, and will are the evidence of our being in the image of God. We have a soul. We have a spirit. Apparently, soul and spirit are used synonymously. Sometimes the soul is mentioned. Sometimes the spirit is mentioned. For example, the soul is mentioned, and then the spirit may be mentioned as well as soul and spirit. For instance, in James, as the body without the spirit is dead, but in Matthew 10, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. So it's the spiritual side, the soulish side of it. The soul, especially used in Scripture when we're thinking of our relation toward the world, and the spirit when we're thinking of our relation to God. Sometimes the word heart is used a great many times in Scripture. And even in the very beginning of Scripture, heart is used in different ways. And if my notes, and this is a good sermon because every bit of it is copied from some source. You remember the man who said that he had a quotation for every occasion. It saved original thinking. For instance, the heart is the literal heart. The breastplate that was put on Aaron is said to have been put over his heart. Or the heart may stand for intellect, every imagination of the thoughts of the heart, as in Genesis 6, or feeling, emotion, comfort ye your hearts, also Genesis 18. And then also it stands for the will, the purposeful person, seeking him with your whole heart, with the whole heart. is mentioned in the Psalms. So when it uses heart, often it means our innermost being. It grieves him at his heart. And sometimes it means affection. I have you in my heart. So we've been created a wonderful body, and we have been created a soul or spirit. In the image of ourselves as being like God, there is also that idea of immortality. We shall live forever. Jesus said, "Be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." So we have that spiritual, soulful part, the invisible part of us that you can't see. You can't dissect a person and find his genius. You can't magnify the brain cells and see the spirit. Mind is more than what is visible. But we live in the flesh. Remember Galatians 2:20. The life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we obviously have to care for it. And so someone who knows all about health can give us advice, and we should take it and live so that our bodies are serviceable to him. But sometimes, of course, the works of the flesh are sinful. Now, in Galatians 5, we have the works of the flesh, but only 5 of them out of 17 are physical sinfulness. The rest are soulful sinfulness. The physical sinfulness are adultery, fornication, murder, drunkenness, and probably the licentiousness, which is mentioned. But all the rest of them are deeds of the soul, of the spirit. Eve's original sin was a soulish, not a physical sin. So our bodies are not evil in themselves. When the word flesh is used, it's not talking about muscles and bones, but it's talking about the sinful activity that some parts of the body and of the soul may maintain. So the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, as we are reminded in 1 Corinthians. And so we must offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God. So I sin, and that's wrong, but I have a sinful nature, and that is worse. And so I need redemption. In 1 Corinthians 15, in the scriptures, beginning at verse 45, if there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. Redemption is also called regeneration, or new birth, or rebirth. It's the change and renovation of the soul by the Spirit of God and by the grace of God. So the sin habit can be destroyed and the righteous habit renewed. We no longer have to carry out the works of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Peter emphasizes that in 2 Peter, as he begins his word to the Christians, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith the goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sin. Oh, that a man would arise in me, that the man that I am might cease to be. Couldst thou in vision see the man God meant, thou never wouldst be the man thou art, content. You've probably compared Romans 7 with Romans 8 sometime. Do you remember how the flesh wants to take precedence sometimes, but there's now no condemnation who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, someday in heaven, we shall be like Jesus. Jesus, it says in Philippians, by the power that enabled him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they may be like his glorious body. And in 1 John, now are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like him when we see him as he is. So it's good that we sang those songs about the second coming, when we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, as a closing prayer, will you sing from our brown hymnal, number 427. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In purer lives thy service find. In deeper reverence praise. After we sing the hymn,